Well, good morning. I will be starting a new series in a couple of weeks entitled Dumb Things Smart Christians Believe. You know, great verses of scripture like cleanliness is next to godliness and those profound things that smart Christians seem to believe. It's going to be a 5-week series and I look forward to starting that in a couple of weeks. I'll be gone next Sunday. My family and I are going to be in Mexico trying to catch the swine flu while we're away. So we can come back and infect all of you. And Dr. Cavan is going to be preaching next Sunday. He's been working on it for a month now, I think. So he's ready and wired and ready to go. And I'll be excited to begin with you in a couple of weeks. But we are concluding this series that we've been in for several weeks now entitled The Requirements of God. We began in Deuteronomy 10, then we jumped to Micah 6:8, where there were 5 requirements in Deuteronomy 10. There are really 3 in Micah 6:8, although we lumped 2 of them together last week, and we'll do so today. And in this series together, we've discovered the desires and what God desires and also what He deserves. That God desires and deserves reverence, respect, love, worship, obedience, last Sunday, justice and mercy as His people. He expects and desires that from us. And then today's sermon entitled The Exaltation of Humility. The Exaltation of Humility. This is another one of those biblical paradoxes. A paradox is an apparent contradiction, not a literal contradiction. It's the appearance of a contradiction. There are some biblical truths which are on all counts of our reasoning ability, contradictions. There really are. We even have an English word that embraces that reality. It's called an antinomy. Go look it up. You'll figure out what it means. But today we're talking about a paradox, apparent contradictions biblically. The way to gain is to lose. The way to live is to die. The way to greatness is service. The way to exaltation is humiliation or humility. A couple of verses of scripture you see. Micah 6:8, and then we'll jump to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and following. Let's stand together as we again focus on these verses of scripture. You read the one just a few moments ago in Micah 6:8. You follow along as I read the now, beginning in verse 8. He hath told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? We've discovered in Deuteronomy 10 that those 5 requirements of God He gave for our good. Here again, He emphasizes, these are for our good. Hear me, folks. Every will of God for a child of God is for the glory of God and the goodness of His children. It may not be enjoyable, but that's not the same as being beneficial. Don't conflict those two. That would be another stupid thing, or excuse me, a dumb thing a smart Christian would believe. He had told you, old man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To do justice, to love mercy or kindness, and today to walk humbly with your God. And then 1 Peter, the last chapter, chapter 5, beginning with verse 5, you'll notice that he's addressing various groups in this particular chapter in 1 Peter. Again, in verse 1, he's addressing the elders. He has a word for them. Later on, he addresses the shepherd or the under-shepherd of the church of God. And then in verse 5, we pick up, he's addressing the younger men. Notice what he says. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. And all of you, clothe yourself with humility towards one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all of your cares or anxiety upon Him, because He cares for you. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experience of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you have suffered for a little while, it may not seem that way, but it's a little while, the God of all grace who called you to His eternal glory in Christ will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of His word. You may be seated. The famous actor of a generation ago, Gregory Peck, was once standing in line with a friend waiting for a table in a crowded Los Angeles restaurant. They had been waiting for some time. The diners seemed to be taking their time eating, and the new tables weren't opening very fast. They weren't even close to the front of the line. And Gregory Peck's friend said to Gregory Peck, "Why don't you go tell the maitre d' who you are?" Gregory Peck said, "If you have to tell them who you are, you aren't." At the state funeral for Ronald Reagan, the former president, the story was told of a time Reagan was in the hospital recovering from the attempt on his life. An aide entered the room, was alarmed to find President Reagan on his hands and knees wiping up some water he had spilt from the sink. "Mr. President," exclaimed the aide, "we have people for this." But Reagan simply replied that he didn't want the nurses getting in trouble because of water he had spilt on the floor. What is humility? Why is it so important? Why would God list it among the list of things that he requires, desires, expects? Humility is the doorway to every other blessing available from God. Get that. Humility is the doorway to every other blessing from God. The latter part of those verses in chapter 5 of 1 Peter lists all those things that we can expect that God will do through us and in us. It's the result of what we've already done when we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt us, because he gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. It's the doorway. Without humility, there can be no self-knowledge, no repentance, no faith, and no salvation. The now famous pastor and author Rick Warren suggests that one of the qualities essential for God's people to ever have a hope of changing this world is humility. Rick Warren says, humility is not denying your strength. It's about being honest about your weaknesses. He says, if you want God's power in your life or God's blessings in your life, it must come through a heart that's humbled before God. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking right of yourself. Let me say that again. Biblical humility is not about putting yourself down. It's about saying how down you already are. Humility is the response to a honest, spiritual self-appraisal of your real condition apart from God. It's thinking rightly of yourself. Someone has suggested that humility is simply not thinking of yourself at all. Humility is learning that we can't be trusted, but that God can. A.W. Tozer writes on this theme, "True humility is a healthy thing. The humble man accepts the truth about himself. He believes that in his fallen nature dwells no good thing." Isn't that what Paul said? "In my flesh there dwelleth no good thing." The humble man acknowledges that apart from God, he is nothing, has nothing, knows nothing, and can do nothing. Let me repeat that, lest you didn't get it. The humble man is one who acknowledges that apart from God, he is nothing, has nothing, knows nothing, and can do nothing. You see, the humble man simply says this, or woman, "I am nothing. God is everything." That's what humility does. But listen to this, Tozer goes on to say, you'll love this. Pseudo-humility is in truth only pride with a different face. It is evident in the prayer of the man who condemns himself soundly before God as weak, sinful, and foolish, but who would angrily resent the same thing being said about him by his wife. How humble are you? Three things about this theme of fulfilling this requirement of God. First of all, the biblical exaltation of humility. You better have a pen. Got lots of verses. We're going to run through them. The biblical exaltation of humility. I encourage you to take this theme. Go to the concordance. Look up humility, humiliation, humble. Look up lowly, meek. All those verses which emphasize how we relate to God first, and as a result of that, how we are to relate to each other. The biblical exaltation of humility. First of all, a verse not on your screen. It's found in the Old Testament. This is what it says. This is the start of the problem. The start of the problem. If humility is the need, pride is the problem. Where did the problem begin? The whole problem of the corruption in creation, the rebellion of the angelic hosts, and the human revolt against the authority of God began in the heart of Lucifer, the angel. This is what the scripture says. How have you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Because you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will make myself like the Most High. That is pride. That's what that is. The source of all humanity's problems began in the entrance of Lucifer, Satan's heart, when he decided he could be equal to God and that he could make himself that way. Listen to me. Hear me. If humility is a proper appraisal of ourselves and God, then pride is a false appraisal of ourselves and God. Is it not? The opposite of humility is pride. If humility is a right evaluation of our estimation of ourselves before God, then pride is a wrong evaluation of our estimation of ourselves before God. Humility is reality. Pride is not real. Humility is clarity. Pride is confusion. Humility is sight. Pride is blindness. What started with Satan saturates humanity's heart every single day. Because of what occurred in Satan's heart, then he shared that corruption with humanity. Again, notice this, Genesis verses 4 and 5. The serpent said, speaking of Satan to the woman, you surely will not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Pride says you will not only be like God, you'll be better than God, because when you think you can say that your insights are more insightful than God's insight, and you have a word that's a better word than God's word, that is pride, and that is a distortion of reality. I know no one here has ever found themselves in the place in their Christian life when you've argued with God's word or argued with God's spirit. We've all just automatically surrendered to every spiritual impulse from the holy word of God. We never resist anything God ever says. I realize I'm preaching to other people. Exodus 10:3. Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said to him, thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go that they may serve me. He refused until he died, and those with him. Leviticus 16:29. This may be a permanent statute for you. In the seventh month, on the 10th day of the month, you shall humble your soul and do not any work. God instituted an annual day of atonement for his people of Israel. And part of the purpose of that annual celebration of atonement was a fresh annual reminder for God's people to humble themselves before God, because they have a right evaluation of God and a right evaluation of themselves. You cannot accurately see God without having a reflection of what you're not. What did Isaiah say when he saw the Lord high and lifted up? Woe is me, for I am undone. It's a descriptive word. I'm becoming dismantled. I'm coming apart.
What I thought I was, I am not, because I see who God is.
If we think too highly of ourselves, it's testimony that we don't think highly enough of God. Deuteronomy 8, 2 and 3. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you into the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but by every man lives by the everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The purpose of the 40 years of classroom wilderness, 40 years of classroom. Kids, you thought you had it tough for 12. And you get out during the summers. 40 years of a classroom to learn humility. To learn humility. Wow. Oh, I need to move on. 2 Chronicles 7:14. And my people who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal their land. The way to revival, renewal, and reconnection to the resource, which is God. Not the resources of God. The resource is God. The way for us individually or corporately to access all that God has in himself for us is through our decision to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom, and before honor comes humility. Zephaniah 2:3, seek the Lord, all you humble of the earth who have carried out his ordinances. Seek righteousness, seek humility. Perhaps you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. I do not have time to camp on this verse, but get this truth. We talked about last week, justice and mercy. You remember that? Justice and mercy. We discover today that to walk humbly with God, when we choose to humble ourselves in response to our recognition of who God is, then that's the means and ways that God chooses to withstand his hand of justice when we deserve it. He says here, when you humble yourselves, then maybe the Lord will withstand his hand of anger against you. None of us get fully what we justly deserve. And even in this life, although there are consequences here, some of those can be mitigated by humiliation and repentance of God's people. Any and every day, we're willing. Ephesians 4, 2 and 3, with all humility and gentleness, with patience showing tolerance for one another, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. What is the problem with human conflict? Pride is always somewhere in the midst. James 1:21, therefore putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your soul. You can read the Bible every day of your life. But if your attitude is not one of humility before God, saying, Lord, teach me what you want me to hear today because I am nothing without you. Unless your attitude is right, your receptivity to God's truth is stifled. Not because he's not trying to speak, but because you're unwilling to hear, because you have a prideful heart. How many times have you read a verse of Scripture and you've read over it because you've already thought you've got all the goody out of it? How many times have you read part of God's Word and you simply read it presuming that you can't understand it? How many times have you read God's Word and you've read it through the presumption of what somebody else said it meant? Need to move on. The biblical exaltation, I do not have time to expand on that. There are tons of Scripture on this theme. Every aspect of our relationship to God first and our relationship to each other in the family of God and beyond the family of God should be motivated by the heart of humility before God. How in the world can a person truly submit themselves in humility to someone else who may be less spiritual, who may be carnal, who may be lost, who may be less committed, who may be less holy, who may know less of the things of God? How can a person who is really presumptively in relationship to that other human being above that person and yet live in humility towards that person? Hear me, folks. Our humility before each other has nothing to do with each other. Our humility before each other has everything to do with being humble before God. We humble ourselves under who God is, and then we relate to ourselves out of that humility. You say, well, they don't deserve it. Stop saying that! That's another one of those dumb things that smart Christians believe. If we got what we deserved, if you ever say they deserve, then you deserve, then everybody deserves, and you need to shut your mouth. Pray, thank God for His grace. Not what they deserve and we deserve. Thank God for His grace. We humble ourselves under God. And therefore we should have no problem being humble before each other. Humility is a learner's spirit. It's being willing to learn from anybody, anywhere, all the time, whether they have a degree, they're the garbage collector, dog catcher, or local motorcycle mechanic. Listen, if you'll listen to God, He'll speak some truth to you everywhere. I got one of those last week. Clock is ticking. I got one of those last week. It was a forward of an email from the Daniels in Africa where Bob and his team are going. And he's in his email just giving a prayer update about stuff. And he's just saying, we need rain here and because the people live off the land. He's just giving a passing description. And because people live off the land, there's a lot of hunger and their cattle are dying and cattle are part of their sustenance, and just pray for rain, which is why the water wells are going to be so critically important. And in that email, there was one line that jumped off the page and just slapped me around. He's being just passingly descriptive of those conditions. And he says, do you know the difference between a man who is hungry and one who is starving? He said, a hungry man can still walk. Well, immediately, I had to go pick my son up at school, and I couldn't find him in the truck hunting for a piece of paper and a pen. Let me get it, God. Before it gets away. And the Lord said to me, Rocky, there's four kinds of people in this world spiritually. There's those who are hungry, but they're still walking around and don't know how close to starving they are. There are those who are full and still hungry of right things because they're full of the wrong stuff, stuffing themselves with the beliefs and systems of this world, and yet they're so distracted by filling themselves with stuff that doesn't satisfy, they haven't learned yet to be realized that they are hungry and also starving. Then there are those who are filled and satisfied because they're filled with Jesus every day. You know what? When you're offering food to someone who's not yet starving, you can't create a spirit of starvation in a person who is hungry and can still walk around, who is full and doesn't even know he's hungry yet. But all we can do is continue to offer the bread of life. And some that are starving, we got to go to because they can't walk. Do you have a teachable spirit? Does God speak to you through life? Oh, I don't have time. I need to run on. The second point of this message is the practical necessity of humility.
Two aspects of that. First of all, my sinfulness necessitates my humility. You remember the prodigal son in Luke 15:21? And the son said to his father, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." Hear me. He was never worthy to be called his son. Sonship is not something that we're ever worthy of. He didn't get to choose what family he was born in. That was an extension of the grace of God. But he came to realize to enjoy that sonship required repentance and humiliation and humility. Did he have to go to a far country and experience the loss of all those things to come? No, he didn't have to. But apparently our resistant, rebellious, prideful spirit, God tends to have to take us to a place where we can't walk until we look up and say, "God, you're my only hope." My sinfulness seems to require a brokenness that results in a humility that says, "Okay, God, all right, I quit. I give up. It's not working. I don't have a plan. I tried my plan. I tried Dobson's plan. I tried everybody's plan. I don't know. But I'm going to trust you, God. I'm going to trust you." Oh, but listen to this. Luke 18:13-14. Remember two guys went to the temple to pray one day? But the tax collector standing some distance away was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his chest or his breast saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went home justified rather than the other one, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. You remember what the other one said? "Thank God I'm not like that man." No, you're not. You're worse than that man. Everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, but he who humbles himself shall be exalted. The only way for us to share in God's grace is the humility. Mike Singletary, the former pro middle linebacker for the Chicago Bears, Christian, named 9 times to Pro Bowl appearances. His nickname was Samurai. He came to the end of himself during the peak of his football career. You know what he says? Because of pride. He said, "I became a victim to my own press clippings. Believed that he could do anything, own a $1 million business, star in movies, write a book. Somehow he came to believe that he could manipulate God to his liking." But sin distorts, and Singletary learned that. And there was sin to deal with, the pride of believing that his accomplishments were his own. The web of hypocrisy, the damage of seeking to live life on his own terms. There was, specifically during his engagement to his wife, during their engagement he had been unfaithful to her. As bad as that was, the guilt was nearly eating him alive. He knew that worse. What worse was that he had, through this facade, betrayed his God. He said, "I wanted to be a Christian on my terms." He said, everything had to go my way because I deserved it. That's how I thought. Until God broke him. My sinfulness requires humility. My usefulness necessitates humility. 2 Corinthians 12:9-11. "And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Because I discover that it's His strength I rely on and not my own." Wow. Matthew 11:11. "Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there is not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist." What was the key to John's greatness? John 3:30. John said, "He must increase and I must decrease."
It was his humility that opened the doorway for his greatness, for God's greatness to shine through him. I'm told that in the Andes Mountains, when the pack goats meet each other on a narrow ledge where it is impossible to pass, one of the goats will kneel and let the others walk over him as a bridge to safety. Has your life ever knelt low enough for someone to walk on it as a bridge to Christ? A man years ago went to China as a medical missionary. While there was an outbreak of typhus, he was attending numerous cases, and as a result, he was stricken and ravaged by the disease to which he was attempting to heal in others. When he heard there was a coolie woman, a woman of low social standing, who was expecting and in labor and would apparently die unless she was to deliver with a C-section, and he was the only doctor available, he begged his attendants to carry him to the operating room. They held him up on each side as he operated and saved the life of the woman and her baby. But the shock was too much for him, and in 2 days he was dead. Did that woman ever know the sacrifice of that young Christian medical doctor? Did the baby ever know? Does it matter? Because God knew. He knelt down, and his life became a bridge to life for someone else. Oh, the last point, I'm just going to read through these and I'm done. The enjoyable blessings of humility. This is Matthew 5, 3 through 10, the Sermon on the Mount. You'll recognize this. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Another translation of blessed is happy. It's not circumstantial happiness, it's spiritual happiness. It's based on a relationship with Christ, not based on the result of a padded lifestyle as a result of following God. The results of these things, this is just a short list. Humility is you receive the kingdom of God, shall be comforted, inherit the earth, satisfied, receive mercy, see God, be called the sons of God. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Hear me again. Every resource from God comes to the heart who's willing to bow before him and say, God, I'm nothing, but you're everything. Let me ask you today, where's pride in your heart? Do you have a difficulty submitting or showing respect to another person? It's amazing how humility is attractive. I went to a gas station just one night this week. I was on fumes. It was about 11 o'clock at night, a station I don't stop at because it's not my regular route. You know how that is. When I came back out, I told my son who was with me, that trip inside was enjoyable. Now, it always... I'm sorry. Maybe this is my pride. One of my pride issues. When you go to a self-service pump and you can't get your receipt at the pump and it tells you to go inside. What does self-service mean? It's always when you got all the time in the world, you just wonder where you're going to spend that last 15 minutes. So it said, go inside. So I went inside, and this young
big black young man, I say that descriptively only. He said, "How are you doing, sir?" And I said, "You know, I'm doing fine." He said, "I'm sorry you had to come inside to get this receipt." I nearly fell over. He recognized it should be working outside. Maybe the last 27 guys came in and just blistered him real good. But his spirit was sweet and kind. It makes me want to go back and say, "What was that guy's name? I want to come buy something because he's here." He just had a gentle, kind, receptive, welcoming, respectful spirit. And I came back out thinking, that was worth the trip for that receipt. What about your heart? What about your attitude? Are you missing a lot of the goodness of God because of pride? Let's pray. Father, thank you for speaking truth to us again today. God, help us to want to see you as you are, that we might see ourselves as we are, that we might live a life bowed before you in worship, and bowed before each other in humility. Holy Spirit of God, do what only you can do in every heart. Bring conviction and brokenness and contrition to our souls. And God, even after your Spirit gives us a revelation of who you are in ourselves, it still becomes our decision to humble ourselves under your mighty hand that you may exalt us in due time, casting all our cares upon you because you care for us. There still must be a willful response of surrender and humility. We must choose to humble ourselves, God. God, do what you must do, God. Bring that brokenness. Bring that spiritual clarity of your greatness and your grandness and your graciousness, and yet which reveals our grossness and our sinfulness and our hideous condition apart from Christ. But in Jesus, those of us who know Him, and He knows us, and we're forgiven, and our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and our sins are cast as far as the east is from the west. Lord, thank you. Thank you, God. That truth should echo in our souls for the rest of our earthly existence and motivate us to be people of massive humility, because we are nothing and you are everything. God, this altar is yours. This invitation is yours. Spirit of God, do what you need to do. Lord, marriages break up because of pride. Careers are lost because of pride. Missed opportunities are a result of pride. The missings of the blessings of God on a church or a family or an individual can be because of pride. Help us to say, God, I'm nothing, but you're everything. God, do your everything in our hearts right now. I ask it in Jesus' name only. Amen.